across the region. Teaching artists visit classrooms to educate, engage, and inspire the next generation using creative learning experiences, and schools take trips to the Kimmel Center for live performances. The Kimmel Center is committed to educating Philadelphia's youth by providing access to quality arts. For more information, visit KimmelCenter.org. The views and opinions expressed by the guests, listeners, and hosts of any program on Word Radio do not necessarily reflect those of ownership, management, or advertisers of this station.
Lifting every voice till earth and heaven ring. This is Word Radio, 96.1 FM and 900 AM WURD Philadelphia. Black Talk Media.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Legal Matters with attorney Gary Bailey. I'm your coach, Joe Dougherty, here on Word 900 AM and 96.1 on your FM dial. We've got an outstanding show today, and one thing we want to let everybody know that at the end of the show, we're going to have our Ask the Attorney segment, which is a pretty cool segment. You can come in, you can call a special number. That would be 267-225-5898 if you want to call attorney Gary Bailey of Bailey and Associates and ask him any legal question, anything that's on your particular mind. And if you want to call in to speak to us live on air, call 215-634-8065, or if it's long distance, 866-361-0900. At the beginning of every show, attorney Gary Bailey, he's going to talk about what's going on around the globe, in the city, in the state. What's up, Gary?
Joe Doc, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Great day. Outstanding. Fantastic day.
What is going on? Well, what's going on is we are seeing a lot of things with the Dominican Republic and a few of the Caribbean islands regarding travel scares, people literally dying, a few assaults, and some other things. So I just wanted to put some information out there that people need to be aware of. The biggest thing is if you get sick in a foreign country, Aetna's not going to cover it.
Really?
Okay, Blue Cross, Blue Shield is not going to cover it, et cetera, et cetera. If you're lucky, they might, okay? But from everything I've researched and heard, you bet cash money, okay? You better have it.
Really?
And they will literally kick you out, and you can die if you don't have any money going on. Now, here's the good news.
Well, I want our producer, Mike Moore, to know, listen, you know, the good hands people ain't going to help you if you're in the DR.
They're not. So, but here's the good news to the flip side of that, which is this is where travel insurance actually comes in and matters, okay? Travel insurance is anywhere from $15, $20, $30. It's a negligible cost when you think of if you're going to spend $1,000, $1,500, $5,000 on a vacation.
Yeah.
It's negligible. I'm researching it more. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I have a couple of good people that's going to help me, and we're going to promote their business also. But when you're going away on vacation and you're going out the country, you definitely want to get the travel insurance because it will cover a multitude of things. Something as simple as if you lose your luggage, obviously it might help with the medical expenses. And the biggest thing is if you have some interruption or some issues going on with booking your travel, it'll help us absorb a lot of that cost. And the business is very tailored to suit your needs based on the company. There's a lot of different things that you can get within those programs. So consider it, okay? Because to some degree, you can't afford not to have it. If you can afford to go on a trip, you can afford to not get three drinks one day and pay for that travel insurance.
And it's interesting because we had a lot of friends and family that have gone to DR and I've had a great time, great experience. However, as of recently, insurance ain't going to help those people.
Right.
God knows what the heck is going on, or if it's just hyped up media or whatever. But it certainly seems like when we're looking at our vacation options, that particular one is moving lower down the list because of all the craziness. So, but
Well, here's Joe. People get sick and die all the time on cruises and in foreign countries. So we're not at an epidemic or pandemic stage. So don't freak out because these things are happening and it's still being investigated. But one thing you want to, that we just take for granted that we never do, is that you can go to, you know, any country in the world more often than not and just land or dock your boat and just go hang like nothing's going on, with not even considering stopping in with the embassy or the consulate,
right?
Which is really what you should do. You, when you go to a foreign country, you not only should know where the closest office is, you should check in with them, especially if you're going to be there 7-8 days, because guess what, if you don't make that flight or that boat ride back, they're going to look.
Sure.
They're going to find out, okay, what happened to Mr. Bailey? What happened to Mr. Doherty? So get in the habit of doing those little things that just protect your trip and give you peace of mind. Your family can catch up with you.
I mean, absolutely. And you know what's interesting? You know, you have, I'm sure there's, you know, the tourist business is huge, massive there. And so hopefully, you know, people are listening to your thoughts and any tourist destination, any vacation spot, you want to do what Gary Bailey said, and that is make sure you get your insurance, get your policy, like you said, Gary. It's not very expensive and it covers you in a lot of areas, and certainly we have you know, a lot of people going back and forth in Dominican Republic and everywhere else. I mean, it's the summertime, people are going on vacation, but they do it all year round. So point well taken.
All right. Well, you know, the first segment is about Bailey and Associates, highlighting the Associates part. Before we get started, for anyone who's listening who just doesn't know, you can reach me at 1500 Walnut Street, Bailey and Associates Law Firm, Suite 821. The phone number is 267-225-5442. As Joe Doc said, we will be going live at the 2 o'clock hour for about an hour, where you can call in or you can go on Facebook Live, because that's what I'll actually be on. So if you have Facebook, you can go on my personal page, you can type in something in the chat, or you can call the 267-225-5898 number. We may not be able to hear you on the actual broadcast, but certainly whatever your question is, we'll inform the audience of it, we'll talk about it, and we'll give you quite a few minutes to discuss any legal matter you have. Now obviously, if it's completely outside of my legal expertise area, I won't be able to help you on that. But if it's certainly something that I've become familiar with or something I can handle, I'll give you a few minutes of some airtime and some space so that we can deal with whatever issue you have. If not, we'll get you to one of our associates. And speaking of one of our associates, this is one of my great colleagues and friends in the business who has a general practice, but also specializes in some business consulting, has worked on a number of school boards, is active like myself very much in the community, has a great niche in immigration, is really, you know, epitomizes what a Philly lawyer is, although he's not from Philly, but we've adopted and we've taken him in, and he's now fit, has looks in the mold of what a Philly attorney is, which is we help the people, we do what we need to do, Joe. So let's welcome Nigel Scott to the show. Nigel, how are you, sir?
Doing good, Gary. How are you, Joe?
I'm good, Nigel. Great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, Nigel, before we start, let the people know where they can reach you, and then give us a bit of a background of your practice and what type of areas of law that you help people with.
Sure. So, I'm actually in the same building as Gary. Gary's up on the 8th floor. I'm on the 7th floor. I can be reached at 267-587-7123. In Suite 700, and that's 1500 Walnut Street. So a little bit about myself in terms of my experience and what I do as an attorney. I actually started my training here in Pennsylvania, in the city of Chester, where I worked in the public defender's office there, actually as an intern in the public defender's office there. And then I continued my legal training in the Philadelphia DA's office, which is actually where I met Gary. Many years ago, I won't say how many years ago. I
don't want to date yourself.
But it was a few years ago, and it was an incredible experience for me. It was really my introduction to the city of Philadelphia, and it's a city that I've come to embrace, and I've come to love, and I've come to appreciate. In terms of the various practice areas, Gary did probably a better job than I would have done myself in outlining the areas in which we practice. But as he indicated, I do a lot of charity and nonprofit governance, consulting, I do a lot of business startups and consulting. So if you're looking at starting a business and you're puzzled about what's the best entity structure for you, I'm the person you can reach out to. It's important that individuals enter into business making an informed decision, because getting it wrong can be costly, not just in terms of tax and financial consequences, but also in terms of liability protection, which is to say protecting yourself from exposure to lawsuits. Someone claims that they trip outside your building and they injure themselves. If you don't have the right liability structure, if you don't have right insurance in place, you know, that can be pretty costly. You may end up losing your property.
So, Nigel, so while you're on that part, let's back up a little bit. So if someone calls you and they're interested in starting an LLC, because that's the thing people always hear but not knowing some of the intricacies, and quite frankly, how easy it is, what would they need to bring to you, and typically how much does it cost to just start an LLC within the state of Pennsylvania or, you know, Jersey or Delaware?
So first thing that I would ask someone to do is to outline for me what is it that they're actually trying to do. So if you're coming to me, make sure you walk with a solid idea as to what it is you're trying to achieve. Are you going in by yourself? Are you going with partners? How do you plan on running the business? Do you plan on managing it yourself? Or do you plan on hiring someone to manage the business for you? All of these questions need to be answered before you decide on an entity structure. And yes, the LLC is very seductive, and for most people, it probably would be the most appropriate form of entity structure to govern their business practices. In terms of the cost, it depends on where you want to set up business. Many people gravitate to Delaware or have gravitated to Delaware in the past, and for very good reasons, which I don't necessarily need to bore everyone with right now. But I'm happy to report that the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has done an incredible job in making itself competitive in this regard. In terms of the turnaround time, there's room for improvement there. But the staff is extremely helpful. The process is relatively straightforward. And the cost is only $125 for a simple LLC. I say simple versus like a professional LLC, which is a separate designation that only a handful, select handful of businesses qualify for. In Delaware, you would pay, on top of the registration fee, you would pay an additional $300 a year just for the privilege of operating in Delaware. Pennsylvania has no such restriction. So if I sound like I'm, you know, pushing Pennsylvania, I'm really not, but, you know, we're fortunate in that I'm speaking to a Philly audience, and we have a really good structure in place here in Pennsylvania, so we need to utilize that. So aside from your filing fee of $125, you're probably looking at maybe 2, possibly 3 hours of work for the attorney, so you would have to understand what that attorney's hourly fees are, unless the attorney has a flat fee. I think it's fair to, you know, expect to pay anywhere from $500 to $1,000 if you want this thing done correctly. When I say correctly, you have to file a certificate of registration. And you, again, you know, you have to clarify for the state what you plan on doing and how you plan on governing your business. If it's a more simplified form, you know, obviously it will be cheaper. If it's a lot more complicated with multiple members, it becomes a little bit more complicated.
And Nigel, specifically, what are the protections that are in place for a limited liability company, which is what an LLC is?
So the good thing about registering a business as opposed to functioning as a sole proprietor is that if anything happens in the course of you conducting business, you have personal protection from any liability that the business might injure. Case in point, I brought up the example of someone injuring themselves on your premises. Well, that may not necessarily be your personal premises, but it's the premises where the business does business. And that being the case, first thing you want to do is make sure you have some sort of commercial liability insurance on that property. I've had a number of cases, unfortunately, where people either thought they could skimp and get by without insurance protection, or where people honestly couldn't afford it. And as a consequence, there were lawsuits that were filed by plaintiffs against my clients personally. And it was a very complicated process of trying to protect their personal assets, like their house, their home, their cars, whatever, from exposure in these suits. if you have insurance, it's also important to have the right insurance limit. So think about the traffic that you're attracting on your business, or that might be just passing by outside. You know, it's not unreasonable to get up to $1 million in coverage.
Nigel, you know, it's interesting. You're right. It can be a complicated process doing it on your own, and it's important to have somebody you trust, you know, to help you form your own business. One of the things, you know, you're talking about is the insurance. When somebody comes in and they're sitting down with you and they want to start, and they're in the process of starting their own business, how often do they... Really, I mean, they may know their specialty, say their demolition in houses or whatever, but how often do they come in to see you? And really, it's almost like step one for them. They don't know those things. And when that's the case, do you kind of consult with them on the other issues as well as forming their LLC or whatever business they're going to start, but also on the insurances and things of that nature?
And that's actually an excellent question, Joe, and it allows me to segue immediately and directly into one of my other practice areas where I serve as general counsel for exactly the reason that you bring up. A lot of people, they come into my office, and they have a little bit of an understanding as to what's necessary, but they don't understand the process and the procedure, how to move from point A to point B to get things done. So in addition to walking them through that process, the next step, unless you've been fortunate, and unfortunately, a lot of our people, we don't come from legacy and entrepreneurs. We don't come from a situation where our grandfathers were businessmen, our parents were businessmen, and so they're passing on this legacy, this institutional knowledge of how to conduct business. And I don't profess to know everything about it, but I've been doing this long enough that I know that there's a set procedure that you follow, and depending on the industry, it can be challenging, but it absolutely can be done. So when someone comes in, this is why it's important that I have to sit with them and understand what it is they're trying to do. You mentioned demolition. That's an area of industry that's fraught with exposure, that's fraught with liability issues. And as a consequence, you need to make sure for someone going doing demolition, anything can happen. One of your workers could become injured. Someone passing by outside the location or the site can become injured. Even after hours, someone can be walking and claim that they trip on a block of concrete or something.
Hey, we saw what happened over at the Salvation Army. I mean, literally speaking, you know, that was worst case scenario, you know, times 100.
Right. And I was just getting ready to say, and God forbid something should happen where the building, you know, a wall you're demolishing falls the wrong way and it damages someone's property, which is not unusual, particularly in a crowded, cramped city as Philadelphia. So it's incredibly important that the person that you select to consult with has an understanding as to all of the liability exposure that you might be faced with, and as a consequence, direct you in the right places to ensure that you protect yourself. Well, now, I don't work with any insurance brokers, so you won't find, you know, my firm directing you to a particular insurer or not. There are a lot of great resources out there. I had to do it for myself when I started, you know, my own practice 8 years ago. You have to do some research. If you're unable to do that yourself, then there are people in place like myself who can guide you and tell you this is what you need to do in terms of the policy limits or whatever the case might be, in terms of making sure that your assets are protected and you don't have to worry about going to sleep at night whether you can have a roof over your head the following day or not.
Okay, well, Nigel, listen, we thank you for all that information. And if you can, maybe stick around. We may have some questions for you on the second hour. But in the meantime, can you give the public and our listening audience your information? Because you are the person that they need to consult with, and you are the person that they should talk to. And let me just tell you, everyone out there, Nigel is one of the hardest working, fairest, reasonable attorneys in this area. So I fully endorse, and quite frankly, anybody we bring on the show, we fully endorse. But Nigel, give me your information so they can reach you.
So again, I'm at 1500 Walnut Street, Suite 700. The phone number you can reach me at is 267-587-7123. The name of the firm is Aegis Law, and I'll spell that for you. It's A-E-G-I-S Law, LLC. The A is obviously silent. And you can go to my website, aegis-law.com, for more information. You'll see a number of practice areas. and I welcome your calls, feedback, concerns. Feel free to reach out to me.
All right, Nigel. Thanks again. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, Nigel.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day. I'll be around.
You awesome. Too. Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's some great information. And the amazing thing is the paperwork and being directed properly at the beginning. The difference between having, for example, the right paperwork and not is the exposure. He talked about liability. And those things that you can, you may be an expert in your business. And by the way, 60% of all Americans work at or are owners of a small business. So people are starting their own businesses every day. It's a big deal. People want to work for themselves. It's a big deal in somebody's life when they go to do it. But it's extremely important that you take that. Those important steps at the beginning and form your business properly. Nigel Scott is a phenomenal attorney here in Philadelphia. Does a great job for business owners, and he also provides you with a lot of information and consulting after the fact, so that you do the right things and you can operate and sleep at night and just focus on your business.
Well, what's important is when you start a business. What I've learned is there are no shortcuts to success and greatness. It takes hard work, it takes dedication, and it takes time, okay? So when you start a business, you have to do those foundational pieces that ensure your productivity and longevity. The first thing is to make sure you have the proper licensing, as the city of Philadelphia requires you. More often than not, you need a business privilege license and some other ancillary piece of paper to go with it. Second thing you need generally is your Social Security number or EIN number, okay? So, and they're both free. Obviously, you're born with your Social Security number, irrespective of the gentleman that called a few weeks ago.
I had two, right.
But most of them has one, and EIN number is free. You can Google it on the internet. If you put employee EIN number, it will come up. You can go on the IRS's website for free. Anyone that's charging you, okay, is scamming you, unless you just don't know how to go through the actual IRS website, which takes maybe about 5 or 6 minutes, 10 at the most if you really go through it methodically, but it is free. You need to get those two things first, and then just invest the $300 or $400 if you can do it on your own to start an LLC or register a partnership or pay someone like Nigel or an even greater attorney, just as good attorney, and just pay them that $1,000, because once you have that in place, you will have peace of mind and protection to just continue to operate your business in a good way. And then all the tax advantages and things that come into play.
Yeah, that's extremely important.
When you have a business.
Absolutely. It's very important. And so every week on the broadcast, we're going to have outstanding attorneys in different specialties that are going to offer information, across the board, from criminal attorneys to landlord-tenant attorneys to business attorneys. Everything legal here in Philadelphia. Your go-to ESQ is Attorney Gary Bailey and his network, which is really important. Like you said, if it's not his specialty, chances are one of the members in his network are going to be experts. It's a phenomenal network, and we got a lot going on. So on the broadcast, you're listening to Legal Matters here on Word 900 AM 96.1 on your FM dial with Attorney Gary Bailey. I'm your co-host, Joe Dougherty, and certainly we got a lot going on today. At the 50% mark, at the 130 mark of the broadcast, we're going to have on Attorney Joe Mesa of Mesa and Associates. And if you are a veteran, or if any of your family or friends have been veterans since 2003, anytime between 2003 and 2015, there's a chance they were wearing earplugs. And let me just say this, not even just a veteran. If you're a military, a contractor, a massive corporation called M3 Corporation was supplying defective earplugs, and individuals have been losing their hearing, and it's affected them greatly. Well, there's a large mass tort suit going on, and you may be eligible, or your loved one or your friend, if they were, like I said, a member of the military or a military contractor, you may be eligible to be a part of the suit. It's very interesting. It's not a what are those lawsuits called when they're when the 10,000
yeah,
people.
Yeah, you have the mass tort and you have the bigger class action ones too. But the interesting thing about the military, there are a whole host of lawsuits that are going on all the time, and they have a very robust insurance program and a lot of different programs are available to veterans that a lot of times veterans don't even know what their rights are or what they have access to in terms of benefits that the military will pay if they suffer injuries while on active duty. So, you know, Joe Mess is going to come in and tell us a little bit about this particular lawsuit that he has. But any, if there are any service members that were enlisted since Desert Storm, the first one, up until the present, okay, if you've suffered a traumatic injury while on active duty, I want you to call my office and I'll explain to you more because it's not enough time to really explain it. And actually, maybe I'll go into it the second hour, but just Google the acronym TSGLI. If you were an active service member after the first Desert Storm up until the present, you paid into a program, okay, which is a short-term disability program to where if you suffer any type of traumatic injury while on active duty, based on a schedule, okay, so it's not anything, but it's a schedule of injuries and it's pretty exhaustive, you are entitled to compensation for those injuries. The minimum is $25,000, the most is $100,000. Most of the active service members, even during that time and even now, don't know that they have those funds literally just waiting there from them.
And this particular case that that Joe Mess is going to talk about, that actually, I believe the armed forces are actually, they filed suit against 3M. So it's this is focused on the contractor, and mm-hmm. It's a massive corporation, yeah. And they were evidently, they were cutting corners, and a lot of individuals got affected. If you're listening, you can call the Word Hotline, WRD Hotline, at 215-634-8065. It's a long distance call, 866-361-0900. You're listening to the Legal Matters Show with Attorney Gary Bailey. I'm your co-host, Joe Dougherty. We're happy to have Attorney Nigel Scott in call in the first segment. And what I think was really interesting, when you listen to Nigel, we talk about business, but if you listen to him and you like yourself, his education and his early experiences came when he was in the DA's office and in the public defender's office. I find that a lot of the really experienced attorneys that understand it, and when they represent their clients who have that experience, it's incredibly valuable because they understand what their client's going through, number one, but number two, also what the other side's thinking.
Well, yeah, Nigel and I met during law school at the Philadelphia DA's office under Seth Williams' term, and what you're saying is correct. There's nothing more antagonistic, high strung, and advocacy at its highest form than putting someone's life in a balance, life or death. Okay. Nigel worked for the PD's office at some point. I worked for the district attorney's office, as well as I worked in child protective services in Houston. I worked for a short stint in a law clinic with Temple, where we were dealing with indigent folks for custody, divorce, and child support matters. So exactly what you said, Joe. Those are the people that represent our constituency. Those are the people that have supported us the entire time. And that's essentially where we cut our teeth as trial attorneys.
And that's great experience.
You got to go. You got to be ready. And you're dealing with real lives, real controversies. There's no do-overs. If you mess up, the wrong person can go to jail.
And I can't state that enough. You know, if you're a mechanic, and you can always refix the transmission. But right. When you're dealing with somebody's life, before we go to our expert, before Joe Mesa calls in, we have Niece on the line. We have a call. What can we do for you, Niece?
Well, I was calling because I was in a position that I resigned from my position behind the fact that it was one of the employees that I did not work for accused me for sexual harassment. Instead of my job defending me, I end up resigning. And as I looked at the situation, I should have went on and let them fire me so I could have sued them. And if this happened over 2 years ago, is it too late to file a complaint against the accuser?
It depends. It's very nuanced because you're kind of going through a couple of things. In Pennsylvania, if you're trying to sue your employer for wrongful termination,
not the employer though.
Right. I'm just because I want other people to know who's listening. You generally have to make a report within 6 months, and then there's a process through Pennsylvania so that you can go ahead and sue your employer. As far as yourself making a suit against another public citizen, it depends on what the actual cause of action. Generally, it's a 2-year statute of limitation unless it involves fraud or contract or something like that. Sounds like yours is going to be more so in the 2 years. But here's what I want you to do, Niece. I want you to call us back at the 2 o'clock hour so that we can talk a little bit more, or call me at the office at 267-225-5442. At the 2 o'clock hour, you can call back at 267-225-5898 and I can get some more information on your case. But just from hearing the first few minutes, it sounds like you'll probably be in that 2-year window, which we're past, but I never make an assumption off of 2 minutes. I want to hear the rest of your story so I can really figure out if we have an avenue to go to.
Thank you for your call, Niece, and certainly like Gary Bailey said, call at the end, at the 2 o'clock hour, where he'll have much more time to talk to you. So right now we're going to bring into the program one of Philadelphia's premier attorneys from an outstanding law firm. We have Joe Messa, who's the founder of Messa and Associates. Joe, how are you?
Good, Joe. How you doing? Happy Sunday to you.
It's great to have you. It's a beautiful Sunday day. We're here with our show host, Gary Bailey.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Joe. We really appreciate this information regarding these earplug lawsuits, which sound horrible, but obviously a phenomenal opportunity for your firm to do some justice.
Good afternoon, Gary. Nice to meet you over the phone.
So,
pleasure.
So, Joe, if you will, tell our listeners, I kind of teed it up a little bit about the corporation, the 3M Corporation, and this mass tort case that's going on right now, and you're handling a lot of the individuals that were affected. If you will, give our listeners just a brief understanding of what we're talking about.
Sure, Joe. So back in the early 2000s, the 3M Corporation, which is a huge multinational, multi-billion-dollar corporation, committed a fraud upon the United States government and the United States military, where they created and sold these earplugs to the military for exclusive use by military members and civilian contractors through all service branches, both active and reserve service. And the long and short of it is, these earplugs didn't work. They didn't do what they said they would do. And as a result, there are now tens, possibly hundreds of thousands of current service members, veterans, and military contractors from all branches of the service who have problems as a result. And those problems we're seeing are hearing loss in one or both ears. We have young people who otherwise would have no hearing problems who have to wear hearing aids. And tinnitus, which is a fancy medical name for ringing in the ear or ears, and that ringing in the ears can be pretty significant, can cause people a lot of problems, both physical and mental, and affect people's ability to work, do their job, focus on day-to-day activities.
Now, Joe, you know, we talked before the show, and there's actually evidence that this contractor, and it's a big, I mean, if I'm not incorrect, it's a massive corporation, correct?
Humongous. Like I said, multinational, international corporation, multi-billion with a B dollar corporation.
So they, and there's, you know, there's evidence that that there was somewhat of a cover-up here, and that they actually knew what was going on, and that and these are our military, and that's why it's important, because I said before you came on, if anybody, any of our listeners have had military members between, you know, what was it, at the start of it was what, 2003, Joe?
2003 to 2015, these were the exclusive earplugs used by the military, both overseas and in the United States through all branches, and including civilian contractors. And, you know, we're talking about a pretty extensive fraud here. And what you said, Joe, is it is a fraud. And what 3M Corporation did. They knew these earplugs didn't work. They created data. They did a quote-unquote study, and what they did was they used their own employees to sort of try to mock up or fake this data so they could show the United States government and the military that these earplugs worked when they really didn't work, and they knew that they wouldn't work out in the field. And you know, we're talking about anywhere in combat, in training exercise.
It's incredible.
On range, in a ship, on an aircraft. It could be a single event, like a large sound, an explosion going off near someone that causes a hearing injury, or it could be repetitive events, like someone who's on an aircraft or in an engine room or around a gun, you know, on a gun range, repeated sounds that cause hearing loss or ringing in the ears.
So and let's talk about the type of case it is. Gary Bailey touched on it before you came on, but the difference between a class action and a mass tort is very interesting. It's you know, the lawyers, I'm learning from you guys. But if you'll explain that and explain how what a mass tort, everybody who's involved, they get their own individual case.
That's correct, Joe. So unlike a class action, this is what's called multi-district litigation. All of the cases, all the individual cases, are coordinated in one jurisdiction in front of one judge. And the purpose of that is efficiency. So all the discovery, all the early stuff that has to be done, like gathering information from the 3M Corporation, documents, taking depositions, sworn testimony of their key people under oath, can be done one time by a group of people and used by everybody in the case. But wow, each individual plaintiff has their individual case. So we represent, at this point, approximately 300 people who have hearing loss and or ringing in their ears. We represent people from all branches of service, both active and reserves. We represent people from around the country, from Pennsylvania and New Jersey, from California and Washington State, from Texas, Florida. And the cases are all coordinated or consolidated before a judge. Casey Rogers is her name, down in Pensacola, Florida.
And Joe, being as though we're in 2019, how far back can you reach to still have an active plaintiff's case at this date?
So the statute of limitations on these cases has not run because of the fact that there was a cover-up by the 3M Corporation. So this was kept secret. No one knew about it. It came out, actually, eventually, by a whistleblower case that was filed with the United States government against 3M Corporation, and that case was settled by 3M, but that was not on behalf of individual injured people. That had nothing to do with injured people. That was a lawsuit by the government against 3M because of the fraud committed on the government. So if somebody was in the military or in the reserve or a civilian contractor during any of that time frame, 2003 to 2015, and has hearing loss or ringing in their ears, even if it hasn't been diagnosed, even if they don't have a disability rating from the VA, it doesn't matter. They should call. They have a potential claim, and we'll certainly be happy to represent them and help them in that regard.
And Joe, one other question. If the service member who was involved, who unfortunately may no longer be with us for something else, can their family bring a claim on their behalf?
If there is documentation that they had hearing loss. So, for example, if someone had hearing loss during that time frame and they're no longer with us, and that's something that we can document through medical records, hearing tests, you know, VA records, then certainly that's a claim that can be made. But that also gives rise to an important point, Gary, to touch on, and that is, even if you haven't been diagnosed with hearing loss, even if you don't, you don't think maybe you have a claim because you're not sure, if you think maybe your hearing's not as good or you have some ringing in your ears and you served in the military during this time frame, you should look into the claim because you may well have a claim.
Joe, let's talk about veterans that are concerned, because we talked about sometimes, you know, there's things going around the internet, and quite frankly, there are rumors that that it may even be coming from 3M Corporation. But the bottom line is, there are veterans that are hearing things like, oh, am I going to, if I file this case, am I suing the Army? Am I suing the armed forces? And will I lose my VA benefits if I do it?
There is all kind of misinformation out there in the public and on the internet, and there has been some at least rumor that this is put out there by 3M Corporation so that people won't sign up and file a lawsuit. But the answers are very simple and very clear. One, this lawsuit is against a private, multinational, multi-billion dollar corporation. It is not against the U.S. government. It is not against the military and will no way affect the U.S. government or the United States military. Also, it has absolutely no effect on VA benefits. It won't affect anyone's VA benefits in any way. It won't affect the military in any way. It won't affect any current service member or reservist standing with the military.
So
there's no risk with respect to anything related to this lawsuit.
And in fact, like we said, I think the military actually filed suit against 3M. Am I correct?
They did. The United States government filed suit against the military for this. And
you mean against 3M?
Against 3M.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I misspoke. But also worked on this case with me, and I know there are members of the military who have questions or are concerned or about the things you just raised, but one of the lawyers who works for me in my office, Mike O'Neill, is spearheading this case with me, and Mike is an Army veteran. He's a former Army enlisted soldier, subsequently went to officer candidate school, was an infantryman, and then flew helicopters, and is currently a member of the reserves, and he's someone who was there at the time and has firsthand experience with this, and can certainly relate to those members of the military that have questions.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, Mike is, and his father was a general. I mean, he's got a strong military heritage, and which is important because of the trust factor. The individuals that are, that have been unfair, and I can't think of a worse injustice than our military members. And like you said, this could be in combat, it could be if they were in a machine room, but let's just take it to the extreme, out there risking their lives, and they think that the equipment that they're wearing and that they're utilizing is safe for them, and it hasn't, and it's not working when you and it causes, and you mentioned tinnitus, and it's the ringing in the ear, and of course that the loss of hearing. But one of the things you mentioned was the fact that it could be, it's not only a ringing in the ear, but it could have severe emotional and mental effects. It's not to be taken lightly. And individuals that, and if they're in, they're used to, we talked about it before, justice on the battlefield, not in, they've never been wronged like this. That's why I think it's a phenomenal thing that you have Mike O'Neill, obviously from your firm doing a great job with military members who have been wronged in this situation, because trust is important. Am I right?
Absolutely, and Gary can relate to this. As a trial lawyer, we consider the courtroom the battlefield that we fight for our clients every single day. But here, this circumstance, military members, they rely on their equipment, and we shouldn't take lightly the fact that we're talking about earplugs and hearing loss. Military members rely upon their guns to fire. They rely upon their helmets. They rely upon all the equipment that they use, and these earplugs they relied upon and reasonably relied upon to protect their hearing, and they had to wear them. They had to wear them on the gun range. They wore them in battle. They wore them on ships. They wore them on aircraft. Everywhere we might be talking about it, it's a piece of equipment that didn't work, that 3M Corporation knew it. They sold it. It's all about money. It's a classic case of profits over people, money over safety, and 3M Corporation should be made to pay for that, and our military veterans and active military members who are suffering should be compensated fairly as a result. And you mentioned tinnitus, Joe. I mean, it's not, ringing the ears is not something to be taken lightly. I mean, there are people who have actually committed suicide over
right.
severe tinnitus or ringing their ears.
So, Joe, if you will, the contact information at the firm, if anybody or their loved one or their friend or family member was a military member between 2003 and 2015, and wants to get in touch with you.
Absolutely, Joe. Our local telephone number in Philadelphia is 215-568-3500. Our toll-free number is 877-MESSA-LAW. That's two S's, MESSALAW. And our website, and you can actually sign up on our website, the information's all right there, is www.messalaw.com. Two S's, MESSALAW.com.
Now, Joe, if somebody wants to call you, is there any upfront or out-of-pocket cost for this situation?
Not at all. It's a typical contingency fee. In other words, we pay all the costs and expenses, and if there's a recovery, then we get our costs and expenses reimbursed in a percentage of the recovery. But there's no cost, there's no obligation. If we're able to secure a settlement or a verdict on your behalf, then we get paid. If not, you owe us nothing.
Well, listen, Joe Messa from Messa Law, I want to thank you, obviously, for providing us with this information, also for representing our military members. Gary, you also have, you had said to me as soon as we talked about this before the show, you have friends and family that were in the military.
Absolutely, absolutely. My grandfather served in the Korean War. And I have a sister right now who's active duty in the Navy. I have a cousin. I can go through a lot of family members where.
But this is something that's got to hit you in the heart.
Absolutely. And I'm actually going to reach out to them and have them reach out to Joe and his firm to see if they have anything going on or any issues with any of their friends. So
Joe, thanks so much for sharing it. And again, thanks for representing our military members who are giving of themselves and give all, and it's important that we represent them and we have the best, and I know you guys are doing the best job. That's Joe Messa from Messa Law. Thanks Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Gary.
I mean, that's infuriating. And what's interesting about this case, Gary, is that it's an individual. I mean, in other words, it's a mass tort situation, which is not like a lot of people think that, you know, if it's a class action, the attorneys are going to keep all the money, blah, blah, blah. That's a misnomer. This is a mass tort.
Right. So everybody gets their day in court, which is to some degree better than a class action, because what happens with class action sometimes is you see a big settlement for $200-300 million. And then four or five people, what are called class representatives, maybe get a couple hundred thousand, maybe a million or something like that. The lawyers get a ton of money, but then everyone else affected get a check for $5, $10,
right,
$18, something laughable, okay? And I can tell that, I can be honest about it, it's laughable what they actually give some of the affected people, but this is not what's happening. A lot of times you see with the drug mass tort cases or mesothelioma or some of these other things like this, where you have a corporation, you have very indiscriminate personal injury cases, okay, then that's when you get your day in court and you get your specific damages, because the class action sometimes is just economic damages, and that's why they just take one big lump sum and they dole it out to people, because it's usually just economics. But when you're personally affected, when your body, your death, your health, you know, all those different things come out to play, that's when it goes into the mass torts thing, because and rightfully so, justice is not served until your individual case is heard and evaluated and there's an official number put on it that compensates you fully for what you deserve, and that's what the type of case is for, and Joe and his firm is doing great work with that. But I wanted to circle back around, because we still have some time, on what I was telling you about the TSGLI. Okay, that stands for Traumatic Service Member Group Life Insurance. Congress enacted it back in the mid-1990s during the first Desert War storm conflict. And essentially what they added was a disability policy to the service members' benefits package, cost them somewhere between $7, $8, $9 a month. And it gave them access to a policy which was basically in place to help give them a lump sum payment if they suffered an injury while on active duty, which more often than not was attributed by either their extended time away from active duty, or just quite frankly what's called med boarding, not meaning they're permanently disabled and can no longer serve in an active capacity. This is what this policy was put in place for. So if you were in the military, any branch of the military, by the way, even reservists, and you served between, I think it's 93 or 94 up until the present, you have this policy. If you suffered an injury while on active duty and it is documented, there is a mechanism for us to help you collect, okay? And again, that minimum number is for the schedule of injuries, okay, 25,000. The most is 100,000. Now, this is per incident. So if you have four incidents while on active duty and they all maxed out according to schedule, you could have waiting for you literally $400,000. Now, here's how much, because sometimes, you know, we criticize the government for what they do and don't do. Here's where it actually was a great thing. You don't have to have the, what you may think of as an active duty injury, right? So a grenade hitting the Humvee and you flipping over,
right,
or you falling out,
right,
of a tank, or getting injured while, you know, transporting. No, you can be on active duty in Kuwait, come home to Philadelphia, drive out on Broad Street, get rear-ended in an accident. That policy will pay for that accident.
Really?
Even still today, yes. Okay. Now, I'm simplifying it because, again, there's a schedule and there's certain qualifications and markers, such as, did you go to the hospital and have an extended hospital stay? Did you have to have any caretaking, you know, during that time, meaning a private duty nurse or something like that? But the most obvious are those type of injuries, to where if there's a scar, if there's a disfigurement, if there's a loss of mobility. Joe even talked about it. Quite frankly, if you have a case with Joe, you have a claim with TSGLI.
So it's not one or the other.
No, it's not one or the other. You can have multiple things. So I'm actually going to speak with Joe and let him know about that.
You know what's interesting about that? It's so amazing. So many veterans. And by the way, a little shout out to our producer Mike Moore here at Word Radio.
Mike.
Who keeps us on the air. And certainly we want to thank everybody at Word for giving us the opportunity to speak to their audience. It's a great opportunity, and we want to offer so much insight and so many opportunities for individuals to talk to attorneys, qualified individuals like Gary Bailey and his network. Our host Gary Bailey is an outstanding attorney in the city of Philadelphia with an amazing network, and certainly after the broadcast today, you're going to get an opportunity, if you like, to call into our hotline, our Ask the Attorney Gary Bailey hotline, 267-225-5898. We certainly got, I think we got a caller. Who we got?
It looks like we have Clyde. Clyde, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Listen, my son was in the military for like 6 years. He got ill over in Kuwait and had an enlarged heart. So now he's back and he's out, but he's in the reserves. So is there anything that could be done for him?
Well, so it depends. One, if he's disabled, that's a separate process and a separate different type of injury. Now, if you're talking about without... in reference to the TSGLI program I was talking about, one of the exclusions is for illness, okay? So if he just got that through something that can't necessarily be traced, and it's just a, you know, part of the hazard of working around hazardous materials or the air quality, something like that, he wouldn't be able to qualify through this program. However, if he could attach it to a traumatic event, okay? So something like, you know, him getting cut on his hand or getting ingesting, you know, some tainted food or some tainted water, something like that. So keep in mind the word is trauma. If we can connect his illness to a traumatic event, then he's golden. If it's just a matter of, you know, his body, you know, kind of breaking down and some of just the regular hazards of the job, that's a little tougher. But with that being said, if he has an illness and a disease that's not going to go away, he more than likely should qualify for some form of a disability rating, to where he can receive extra benefits and probably income from the U.S. government for his diminished capacity and his availability, limited availability to do his job as a result of serving in the active military. So I'd like for you to have him email me, because if he's overseas, I'm pretty sure it's tough. But, you know, you can call me.
He's here.
Okay.
No, he's here. He's in a reserve. He didn't re-enlist.
Okay.
So he has to do that reserve time.
Have him call me, and I'll walk him through, you know, some initial questions, and we can see where he stands. Tell him to call me at 267-225-5442.
Repeat that.
I'll take my time. 267-225-5442. 5442. But if you just Google Gary Bailey Esquire, I'm fortunate that the name will pop up. If you put that in to come up in Philadelphia, he can find a website, social media, any way he needs to talk to me. I'll walk him through. I'll get some individual, some initial questions from him, and we'll see if we can figure out maybe a way to drill down to a traumatic incident. If not, then we'll go to the next phase and see if maybe he qualifies for a disability rating.
What, Clyde? What year was he in, Clyde? What year was he in active service?
It's been like 6 years, so like maybe 10, so 10 or 11, somewhere like that there. And I have a lot of friends that's in the military, and they've been trying to speak with him, and it's like, you know, he's like, you don't know how it goes. And I'm like, I'd have had a series of people speak with him, so I don't.
Yeah, you know what? You know what's interesting. So Gary Bailey's has family in the military, and I think it's important that it's a part of the trust factor, especially when somebody's in the military. They're like we talked about with Joe Mesa. And by the way, if he's got any hearing issues or he wants to get his hearing checked to see if he does, he's in that time period where he could be also eligible for the 3M mass tort. He should definitely, if you were in the military between 2003 and 2015, he could clearly be, eligible for that particular mass tort if he's suffered any hearing loss at all, or if there's any ringing in his ears. And like Gary said, with his current situation, certainly he should talk to somebody who understands. Gary's had, family members in the military, and that's one of the things that's important in the military. Gary, you talk about trust factor.
Right.
It's so important because, like we talked about, military. When you're in the military, you're used to getting justice out on the battlefield, not in the courtroom, where often these things, in order to affect change, this is where it happens.
And again, Clyde, let him know that these are two areas of litigation that won't affect his benefits. It won't affect his chain of command. It is not hostile towards the U.S. government. These are on the TSGLI side. We're talking about an insurance policy, okay, that is through Prudential, okay. So they're the ones that administering it. They're the ones that's holding the money. On the one that Joe Mess was talking about, that's against a private corporation. So he's not going to feel any pushback or no any issues from what which we're trying to help him with these two programs. But tell him to call me here at the office. I'll take the time. I'll give him a brief intake overview and see what we can do for him.
Okay, I appreciate it because, like I said, a number of people, just like you said, a number of people said exactly what you said. And in fact, a friend of mine that actually was I think he was in a Desert Storm, and basically he's out on disability and everything. And he actually gave me a number of attorney for my son to contact. But I mean, I can't make I can't make him do anything.
Right.
So
right.
Even with the ear situation, he even said that to me at one point. Like
what did he say?
One day I was calling you like, Dad, I was in the military. It's hard for me to hear.
Okay, so, and by the way, it's a mass tort case. So in other words, it's not one of them class action, Gary said. It's not one of them class action cases where, individuals are part of one big suit. They get $10. It is an individual. Right. Everybody gets an individual a case, and it's a big situation. So he call Gary Bailey with the district. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah. The producer's going to get your number, Clyde. Okay. And give him your son's number. I'll call him. I handle this all the time, so I'll approach him obviously with sensitivity and respect. I'll personally give him a call and just put the information out to him, and then we'll see what we can do from there. Because it sounds like we can help him out tremendously with these issues. So hang on one second.
I believe so too, Gary.
Okay, don't hang up, Clyde.
Thank you, Clyde.
Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Awesome.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, there you go, right there. I mean, you're talking about individuals that, it's not a stretch. People. His lives can get changed by you know, the information that they're learning about on the broadcast. So yeah. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. How much time do we have?
About a minute and some change.
Okay, so
we're good.
So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Legal Matters with Gary Bailey. Gary, what contact info real quick for the firm?
267-225-5442. Bailey Law Associates with an S. All spelled out. You can reach me at g.b.esq on Instagram and Gary Bailey Jr. on Facebook, which, by the way, we're going to be going to our first inaugural Ask the Attorney at the 2 o'clock hour. So you can log on to my personal page on Facebook, Gary Bailey, and you can type your question in the chat room, or you can call in at 267-225-5898. We will address your question. We will help you as much as we can in this hour time. And, you know, it's been a great time, and we look forward to this next hour and seeing what we can do. We're here for the people, Joe.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to Legal Matters here on Word 900 AM 96.1 on your FM dial. I want to thank again Mike Moore, our producer.